Hare Krishna. Yesterday evening also, I had an... Just like now, I'm being called, just like this, to speak to all of you, students. So yesterday evening also, after Sandhya Arati, I just met with the Gurukul students. Like that, impromptu, means not arranged in advance. And so I asked them the same question that Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad. What is the best thing that they've learned? And I asked them if they knew the answer. Do you know the answer? What did Prahlad say? Shravanam. Yeah, some of the Gurukul boys could say it also. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smaram Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Avinivedanam. But actually, that's not the complete sentence. In the shlokas, sometimes the sentence goes over more than one shloka. So, what's the rest of it? Itipung Sarpita Vishnu Bhaktis Chaina Valakshana. What is it? Bhaktis Chaina. Yesterday, I also forgot the third line. I better look it up. Tadmanya adhita mutamam. That finishes the sentence. I consider that to be the topmost learning. So Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Swaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam Iti. So all of this, in this way, a person offers all these activities to Vishnu in bhakti, in nine processes. So this is the topmost learning. So that is what is to be learned. But in another sense, bhakti is not to be learned at all. Can you learn? Does a child learn to love his mother? His son has to learn, he has to go to school? Maybe it'll be like that. Like they have marriage counseling and all this. What people normally, this is they used to do, now you have to go to study. Like the girls go to college to learn home science, how to keep the house clean and all this kind of thing. They used to learn at home. So can you learn about bhakti or not? If you say yes, you're wrong. If you say no, you're wrong. You're always wrong. Whatever you do, you're wrong. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. It's the opposite of modern psychology, in which you're supposed to encourage the students. There's this whole psychological speculation that you shouldn't make children, you shouldn't make them feel bad, you should make them feel good. Whatever they do, you encourage them and tell them you're great, you're wonderful, whatever. So there's a whole generation that's grown up in America thinking, whatever I do is wonderful, and they don't do anything. They're just completely useless for anything. So training means both sides, encouraging and slapping. And actually, as Srila Prabhupada taught us from Chanakya, the slapping is more. Lalayan bahavo dosha, tarayan bahavo guna. Patting, Prabhupada called it lalayan, patting, or just fondling. There are many faults in that. And slapping, tarayan, means literally beating. There are many good qualities in that. So it's opposite to modern psychology. But both things are there. In Kali Yuga, it seems people are very weak-minded and they can't take much slapping, much discipline. Then how is Krishna consciousness going to work at all? Because discipline is required. Without discipline, how can you be a disciple? Without shashan, how can you be a shishya? But then people, they're just so weak-minded that a little slap and they collapse. And then we fall on psychological theories. how you have to adjust with people and talk with them, smile at them. But actually the guru is supposed to be very strict. In Dwaraka, one time I was there speaking with some local brahmanas. There's a large brahmana community there. And some young men, I mean, they're about 30 years old. From my perspective, that's young. So they told me about their guru. I mean, he's the teacher in the school there, the guru. The school means they have a traditional education. They learn shlokas. They're going to be priests in the temple. And when I'm talking about brahmanas, I'm talking about the priests in the temple. There are many priests in the temple. He says, very strict. Very strict. Won't allow any nonsense. But you could see how much respect they had for him. And I met him and I spoke with him. And he's a smarta. Like this. But he's a guru. He has that guru bhav. And I just by speaking with him, just immediately, you can see how he's definitely very strict and very principled, but very affectionate also. Not that he's not strict, but his affection does not manifest as this fluffy show of affection. But there's nothing behind it. You know, oh, we love you, we smile. There's nothing there. There's no actual desire to benefit the person. Whereas with this Upadhyay, isn't it? I don't know. Do you know his first name? No, you were there. Right? You know who I'm talking about. He's there in that Dwaraka movie. So he's very strict, but there's all the young men, last two generations, they respect him. And actually, they have very deep affection for him because he's not just teaching them. It's not just a job. If you go to the school or university now, you'll have a teacher, and it's their job to teach. But there's no affection with any teacher. After I left school, I never saw any of my teachers ever again. There's never any thought of doing so, either from their side or from my side. And one of the teachers, he told me that I'm a teacher because it's fairly decent pay, short hours, long holidays, no stress. That's why I wanted to be a teacher. No idea of benefiting. It's just what's most convenient for him. So our whole concept of education is different. It's meant for Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadha Kapu Noi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Koriyatoi. Krishna consciousness cannot be taught, but it can be revived. So this teaching is not exactly teaching in the way that it's conceived of in modern education, but rather it's reminding people of what they should already know. It means removing the ignorance. One of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciples, he gave him the name Avidyaharan, the name for Krishna, who removes ignorance, the dispeller of ignorance. So it's really reminding people, and we were just discussing just now how some devotees, they're just like completely dedicated and surrendered and selfless. Gokul was saying to me, and I said, yeah, well, that's the natural propensity of the soul, to be like that. That's what you're supposed to be. Right? That is Krishna consciousness. And that cannot actually be taught. You can learn 10,000 shlokas and be expert in philosophy and be topper in the class in Bhakti Shastri and not make any advancement in Krishna consciousness whatsoever. It all is reflected in the service mode. That's the ultimate test. But Bhakti Shastri is also there, that is required. But it should not be taken in the way that we have school and then there's a competitive spirit. But like everything in Krishna consciousness, everything should be done for the sake of purification. What is that? Yoginam karma koravanti. What's the next line? Whatever they do for the sake of purification. That's all. Want to find that? It probably won't be in there. It's a Gita verse. Yoginam karma koravanti atma shuddhaye. I'm missing one word. This is the defect of not learning properly. It's good to learn properly. I've only quoted two shlokas and I've dropped one line of both of them. Chapter 5, is it? 5:11. It's the second half of the verse. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalair indriyair api yoginam karma koravanti sangam tyaktva atma shuddhaye. Read the translation.
The yogis abandoning attachment.
The yogis abandoning attachment.
Act with body,
mind, and words.
Intelligence,
only for the sake of purification.
And even with the senses. Only for the purpose of purification.
Yeah. For the purpose of purification. So it's not so much a matter of learning many subjects. That should also be there. That's also required. But that does not in and of itself constitute the essence. Purification. And what is the symptom of purification? Service mode. Selfless service. We're not doing it for ourselves. Selfless service means selfless service to Krishna. So that's why you have to have the Bhakti Shastri course. So otherwise you may get the idea of selfless service. Mother Teresa, selfless service. No. She got it wrong. She didn't do her Bhakti Shastri course. And if you don't do the Bhakti Shastri course, you may also think that Mother Teresa's selfless service, from every perspective, it seems to be selfless, but because it's not properly focused, it's not on the right, it's not offered to he who is the proper acceptor of selfless service, then it cannot actually be selfless, because first thing to be selfless, you have to know who you are, who is myself. You can't give up a sense of selfless, of selfishness, and first of all you have to know who you are, who is yourself. And that means to understand ourself in relation with Krishna. So it's a false selflessness. If you conceive, I am such and such a person of this material world and I'm acting selflessly. But that's a false selflessness, because first of all you don't know who you are. Or if you think that I'm a servant of Jesus who is God and they killed God and he was dead for 3 days and everyone's going to hell unless they believe in Jesus. If you have a wrong conception, then your selflessness is, it's all misplaced. So it's important to know who we are, what we're doing, who we're doing it for, how to do it, the techniques have to be. Techniques and proper understanding has to be there, and that will be manifest in service mode. But even that selfless service mode and dedication, even in Krishna consciousness, that has to be, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is required. Otherwise, that can be misdirected also, even in Krishna consciousness. And I've seen in Bengal, you read about the upper sampradayas, I've seen them in action. And you see people who are like, you know, fully dedicated, but because they've got the wrong understanding, it all goes in vain. Here in Tamil Nadu, among the more religious people, Hindus, still the name of Chandrasekharendran Saraswati is famous. He died about 15 years ago, something like that. So he's famous as a great sadhu, and actually he was a great, perfect sadhu, and practically unbelievable in the modern age that you could have such a sadhu. Fully into, perfect representative of the Shankara Sampradaya, but he also didn't do his Bhakti Shastri. Well, he's extremely, far more learned in Shastra than any of us could hope to be. But he went to the wrong Gurukul. So he learned Shastra, he learned culture, he learned Vedas, he learned dedication, but he didn't get the point that everything has to be offered to Krishna. Sarvasvam Vishnave. Everything has to be offered to Vishnu. And interestingly, one of the greatest gurus in the history of the universe, well, that was him who said that, Sarvasvam Vishnave Dattva Murha Vartishyate Katam. This was Shukracharya saying to Bali Maharaj, if you offer everything to Vishnu, you fool, how are you going to live? So he knew everything, but he got it wrong. Indirectly saying, how am I going to live? Because I'm living on you. So if he saw, if Shukracharya saw your Bhakti Shastri course, he'd laugh and say, what's this? I learned this when I was in the womb of my mother. This is beginner stuff, but no, this is way, way, way up above Shukracharya. He's an interesting personality because he had good theoretical knowledge. In the end, he admitted that, yes, actually, if your name is chanted, all the discrepancies in performing sacrifice, everything, that's all swept aside. He knew it all theoretically, but in practice, he's the guru of the demons. So he's a great personality, no doubt, but we are more fortunate, actually. Even the most neophyte devotee is in a more fortunate position than a Mayavadi. That doesn't mean that we should cultivate a neophyte attitude or think that to be a neophyte or to have a misunderstanding is acceptable. So anyway, you go on studying. You can study Bhagavad Gita as it is all your life. If at the end of the life, if you have some understanding of one or two verses, that would be a good use of your human life. It's not a small thing, Bhagavad Gita. That's the beginning text, but how many can understand? Very, very rich, very, very deep. Every verse, there's so much Krishna. It's Krishna speaking, so when he speaks, all knowledge is in every syllable. So we should study what Krishna says. What's that verse again? Kayena manasa buddhya kevalair indiair api yoginam karma kuravanti tyaktva atma vishuddhi. Sangam tyaktva atma shuddhi. It's not quoted much, but it's a very important verse. How we have to engage everything for the purpose of purification. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I have a suggestion. Don't close the book with the pen in it, because then the binding it'll break the spine gradually. If you do it 20, 30 times, the spine will break, if you make a habit of it. So, minor suggestion, but we should carefully treat Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.